I'm going to speak about some new results in calculation on large-scale correlations of geometric operators in spinful models. And the relevance of this kind of calculation is the following. If one finds that no large-scale correlations of this kind are present in a specific spinful model, this would provide an obstruction to the existence of a regime of the theory where an effective field theoretical description is available. So I'd like to stress it. Donoghue spoke about this yesterday morning, and the point is that we have a consistent description of quantum gravity in the low energy regime. It is provided by perturbative quantum gravity when it is viewed as an effective field theory. And this is a phenomenological approach in which only the low energy field content and the symmetries of the action are to be prescribed. So I'm presenting it from the bottom-up point of view. And one finds that fixes the process of interest. The theory is predictive once a finite number of coupling constants has been measured. Now, on the next slide, I'll change my point of view. I shift to a top-down point of view. So the point is that this approach naturally identifies a scale where it breaks down, the scale of the physical cutoff, and requires new physics to complete such scale. And for the case of interest here, it's Max Planck. And the point is that, we are supposing that there's an underlying high-energy theory, high-energy physics, and this effective field theoretical description is a description of the underlying theory, which can be still an ordinary local quantum field theory, which is defined on a manifold with a non-dynamical metric, or could be a quantum field theory defined on a differentiable manifold without a fixed metric, or even something else. So this is a rough classification. I think it's interesting to put proposals for quantum gravity inside this rough scheme. This is a way to, this is only an aspect of the problem of quantum gravity. And a proposal is loop quantum gravity, and it is of type 2. And the reason comes from the very structure of the classical theory, general relativity, which is defined on a bare manifold, with the metric as a dynamical quantity. So this is in a sense, it's a well-defined mathematical problem, which has a solution. The quantum gravity is it's a mathematical well-defined solution. So let's shift to Piemann spoke about this this morning, so I'm not going into details. Now let's shift to the physical aspect. While on the one hand it's important to probe the theory in the deep quantum regime, for instance at Big Bang singularity or at Big Bang singularity, this is important. Ashtika this morning stressed it, and about the black hole singularity, Leonardo Modesto will speak about it on Friday. So if on the one hand one has to probe the theory in this deep quantum regime, I think that on the other hand it's crucial to understand if the theory admits a regime where large-scale correlations are present. Because only in this case an ordinary quantum field theoretical description could be available. And I think this is a key test this approach has to pass. Recently there's been some progress in this direction. I'll speak only about some technical details about this last work. And the key idea, Carlo spoke about this this morning, it's study the theory on a state which is picked on a classical geometry. So this is a rough outline of my talk. I'll present only details. This is an introduction. And this is the actual calculations. It's calculation of geometric correlations of geometric operators such as area correlations. And the point is that the answer can be compared with a similar calculation of a perturbative one done in regi calculus. And I'll not wait to the end of the talk to tell you that we found that they match in a nice way. So I can skip strategy in general philosophy as Carlo has already spoken about it, and I'll go deep into the details. So we know that in loop quantum gravity, the Hamiltonian constraint acts non-trivially on the atmodes. And for instance, here I'm showing how the Hamiltonian constraint corresponding to Barrett-Crane spinform model acts. And this gives this transition amplitude. And this transition amplitude is its role is best captured in the boundary amplitude formalism. The strategy is the following: put out a ball around the vertex, and introduce a vertex amplitude, and a boundary state which describes, which codifies the dynamics outside this ball. So on the boundary we have this, this graph, and the boundary Hilbert space is as this basis. So the transition amplitude can be written in this form. Now, the objects we are interested in are this kind of objects. Correlations, for instance, area-area correlations on a state, which is picked on a classical geometry. Or, for instance, volume-volume correlations. These are correlations of coloring. Now, the idea is the following. The reason why we study these kind of things is that in order to have large-scale correlations in a realistic situation, where one chooses an appropriate boundary semi-classical state, and a summer of two complexes is considered, we expect that the correlations have to be present already at this level of vertex amplitudes. So I'll go into the details. I'll start with this boundary state. You know that an element in this spin network state in this boundary Hilbert space has this interpretation. It describes a quantum geometry given by five chunks of space and 10 patches where they meet. Here we consider a state which lives in this Hilbert space. So at most it can be mildly semi-classical. That is, it has the same connectivity, but it's picked both on areas and on its conjugate momentum, similarly for volume. So the ansatz is the following. We take for representations of the spin, on the spins, a Gaussian with a phase. And for instance, for the intertwiners, this trivial proposal. And despite being very naive, we expect that this proposal should be quite general, at least in the case of large J0, where we are picking this Gaussian. We have much more, we receive attention to a symmetric situation. These J are essentially restricted to be in this range. Okay, this state is semi-classical in a kinematical sense. It is picked on a certain geometry. This is a kinematical property. If this state is to be considered semi-classical also in a dynamical sense, this depends on the specific spin-form model for the dynamics we are choosing. Okay? I'll discuss it later. I'll study simply the Berkeley model, and I show that it fixes this angle. It depends on the dynamics. So I spoke about the state, some words about the vertex amplitude. A wide class of spin-form models can be written in this form. One starts with a SO4 vertex amplitude, for instance, the most elementary one, the topological one. And one introduces branching functions, which project from SO4 to SO3 on the boundary. And one could take branching functions which are factorized on links and nodes so that we can guarantee crossing symmetry. And both the Berkeley model and the new model presented by Karloff fall in this class. Berkeley model is given by these branching functions. You can see it imposes simplicity constraints both on links and on nodes. And much more, on links, one has this delta, which imposes that the boundary spin representation is given by the sum of the left and right representations, so it has to be integer. So we are restricting to a subspace of the Hilbert space, which is given by only four valent graphs, and much more, it's an SO3 subspace. It's a space of integer representations. And the Berkeley model is well defined on this subspace. Okay, the angle of Pereira-Rovelli model is given by a different branching function for the spins, but it falls in the same class. This is a 15J symbol for these branching functions. This is the general formula I use. How much time left? Okay. I'll need a result, which is an integral formula for the Berkeley model, okay, it's all the results, so you don't need I recall it. I write it as an integral of five group elements, and this can be written as five vectors in unit vectors in four, or 15 angles. There's an S of four invariance, so I end up with 9 angles. And using this, one ends up with this expression for the Bartle-Krait vertex as a sum of 2 to 10 terms, which are given by this expression. The U are the 9 angles. The B are give the signs. And there's a limit which assures that this function is singular at certain points, and we are taking Cauchy principal values that this sum is well defined. The limit of the addenda is not well defined, as you know. So here are the actual calculation. As I said, this is the answers for the boundary state split on integer spin representations. I can write a spin in this way, introducing the relative fluctuation. It is of order of 1 over square root of J0. And I assume that L0 is much greater than 1. I'm interested in this, in computing explicitly this correlation. And it can be done explicitly, and I'll show you. The term which has to be computed is this quantity which appears in the correlation formula. I recall you that this ABC epsilon B is one of the addenda in the Bartle-Krait vertex. Okay, so I'm taking one of the components and compute explicitly what is this contribution. And P of K is a polynomial in K. Okay, so when computing this kind of correlation, you always end up with sums of things of this kind. So this is the first key result. One can do exactly this kind of calculation, exchanging the integral over K with the integral over the 9 angles. And if one takes L0 to infinity, one finds that this term is given by a product of delta, so we have to find solutions of this function. You can find them. It has solutions only for B equals to 0, and for the angles U, which satisfy this formula, this phi, capital phi, is the angle between two vectors, two unit vectors in R4. There are two solutions. This is one, the other one is the particle exchange of it. And this fixes the phi 0. It has solution only for two configurations, and only for a specific phi 0. Okay. So this was for L0 to infinity, but we are interested only in finite phi 0, in finite L0, but much greater than 1. So in this case, this is to the integral over U, contribute only the U such that this inequality is satisfied. And this inequality is satisfied only for B equals 0 and for U belonging to a ball centered in the U0 computed above, and over radius 1 over the square root of L0. And similarly for the other one solution. So this domain can be split in two balls, and a region with boundary and walls. Okay? And the result is, okay, the Bartle-Krait vertex can be written in this as this sum, and the second and third term give contributions which are exponentially suppressed, while the first term gives a contribution which is suppressed only as a certain power over L0. Okay? So in this way, we have shown explicitly that the degenerate configurations do not contribute to the correlation functions. The point now is to compute this in detail. Okay. This is the second result. We can do it explicitly. And the idea is to use the stationary phase formula for this term in the Bartle-Krait model. And And the idea is to solve it first for k equals 0. K is the relative fluctuation. It can be done explicitly. And one finds that solution find before is an isolated stationary point for this phase. And then solve perturbatively in k, introducing a power series.
5 minutes.
Okay. So one does it, puts the solution inside, and one finds that in order to compute this phase up to order 3 in k, so the order 4, I'm not computing the order 4 and the order 3, you need only this first correction, not the others. This is a straightforward consequence of on calculating it at the stationary point. So this is the solution with the first order correction, and this is the phase at the stationary point. We have computed the coefficient explicitly, numbers. We have done it only also for the measure, the asymptotics. One finds that this is the expression for the determinant, this is the expression for the f appearing there, and this radio, it's symmetric under exchange of decay. So it's nice. We have the term which contributes to correlations is of this kind with this action, this perturbative action, and this perturbative measure. And now one can compute correlations. Correlations can be written as fluctuation on spin, spin correlations. And so this is the one-point function, two-point function. So in a sense, this is a rigorous derivation of a result which is which we obtained 1 year ago. And one can compute the three-point correlations. And there's a contribution for the measure, from the measure. And we expect that we have to correct the boundary state at this order. So we have an explicit result. Can we do anything with it? The answer is yes. We can compare it with a completely different framework, which is Regge calculus. I've not used anything from Regge calculus. One can start and do calculations perturbatively in a perturbative quantum area Regge calculus. We are picking on a regular for simplex, the Jacobian from lengths to areas is well defined. Okay. So we have done it. So we have computed all these coefficients. It amounts in derivatives and derivatives of Jacobians. And the answer is that the coefficients are exactly the same. Once one identifies the representations, these are, for instance, the left ones. So left plus right, so 2j0, with 8j0 over 8 pi g Newton. And the fluctuation in a similar way. Yeah. So this, in a sense, is much more than what was done computing simply the asymptotics or the 10J simple. We have fixed also the scale. Okay. Now, conclusions. We have computed the two-point, three-point correlation, two-area correlation function. The result matches with the perturbative calculations in area Regge calculus. We expect that going beyond third order, find contributions coming from higher order, higher curvature Regge terms. This comes from the measure. We have already a term from the measure, which is non-trivial. Going further, we get other terms which can be exponentiated and expected to give higher curvature terms. So Barrett-Crane model passes this test. A good question is, does the new vertex passes this test of area-area correlation? We are starting to do it. And much more. One could compute volume-volume correlations in perturbative area-Regge calculus. It's well defined. One could even try to compute it in Barrett-Crane model, but because it weights all the intertwines in the same way, but they are restricted by this range on J0. But it's much more interesting to do it in the new model, which gives a dynamics for the volume. So this is the general idea behind this reasoning. 1 minute, I'd like to present only one elementary sample which gives, it's a naive one, but it's my understanding of this way of reasoning. It is a correlation on a semi-classical state in the full theory are to be compared with correlations on a vacuum state of the probability theory, but around a certain classical solution. So the elementary sample is the following. The problem is, study correlations of position for a particle in a Coulomb potential. So first thing, warning. This integral is not well defined as it is not a Gaussian integral. There's this 1 over R. So, one could try to compute it perturbatively around a classical solution, an ellipse, or it's much easier to do it on a circle. Okay, the theory is perturbative. One finds that it is perturbative. That is, you can it perturbatively consider the harmonic oscillators and the correction. When you pick on a classical solution, which has a mean radius, which is much greater than this quantity. Okay, we know what it is. It's Bohr radius. Okay. So one can do it and compute correlations of, correlations of position. One can do it even, non-perturbatively using this canonical formula, this formula for this integral, and do it, give a meaning to this expression, and one finds this thing, which are correlations on, the vacuum state. And this is not the right thing to compare with the perturbative calculation, but it's the second one. One can do it explicitly using asymptotic formulas you can find in Landau, and you find that they match and give corrections. So this is all. Thanks. Sorry? Why? Okay. The motivation is because this provides a first step towards studying the effective field theoretical description. You can think about it as a three-step calculation. You have spin forms, area regge calculus, perturbative one, and perturbative quantum field theory. Okay, we would like to compare calculation done in spin forms with calculation done in perturbative quantum field theory. There too, you can calculate correlations of areas. You compute first the correlations of Brightons, and then write areas in terms of Brightons. Okay? So, going from the first to the third, it's still difficult. We have done the first step. Starting from spin forms, going to perturbative regge calculus. Next step is to go from perturbative regge calculus to perturbative quantum field theory. One can discuss about it. There are all the results for length regge calculus with lattices, all the results by Roschek, Williams, Amber, looking for the graviton in regge calculus. Oh, you mean, did I have to expect it? Yes. In a sense, they are, you find that they are, at least the first two, we find that they are related. We had some means that they are to be related, but, we did not know before doing the calculation. I'm answering your question. Maybe I did not understand it. Oh, okay, okay. As I said, I'm doing the calculation at a very, very low level. It is at vertex amplitude level. Okay, so I can compute 3 and 4 area correlations, but in the end, I have only 10 links. So one could do it, but okay. I'm not sure that it is the right way. Okay.
That's a good question. The area where the practice is necessary because you need to use more sentence or most of the reason?
Okay, okay. There are two aspects. One is I'm restricting attention to one for simplex. Okay. And much more, I'm restricting to one for simplex, which is regular. And in this case, where there are no rectangles, area regi calculus is well defined. I can start with a length and go to areas. The second aspect is composing more than one. And this is difficult. We are looking at it. Maybe that one is the point where we have to study really the new vertex. It is expected to solve some problems. Maybe by creating one, it's not good for doing gluing, but it's okay. Yeah.
So how do you use some of those initials while doing the systems? Can you somehow use them on the low regime to expect this to go to balance? So that we know how to compare them to other calculation systems, like the regimes or other models of effects.
Okay. Calculation I presented is done in the large G0 regime. Okay? It's not a limit of a theory, from a theory to another, but a regime of the theory as I'm picking on large G0. Okay? So one studies it and one finds that it matches with perturbative quantum regi calculus. There's something else I learned from your talk. That is, one could do something different, which is glue many four simplexes a certain amount so as to give a surface which is S4. Okay? So one could try to split that calculation, you computed the spin-spin correlation, in one four simplex and the other five. Okay? So in a sense, here I'm stating it could be that the sum of the other fives gives a boundary. If they give a boundary state, okay, and the other one gives the vertex. Now, I do not know if it gives my semi-classical state. I expect it does not give my semi-classical state, but gives this calculation, the two-point correlation on the non-perturbative vacuum state. Okay, so in a sense, I do not expect to find matching with regi calculus in that case, because in a sense, it's a different boundary state. But I'd like to see a numerical calculation of this. It would be very interesting.
So let's move on and thank you.
Thanks. Sorry for being